Boom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
In the air, everywhere, as we yap all weekend long. It's the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller and Danny G Radio together here on a Sunday, 8 days a week. Double barrel action back on the radio tonight at 11 o'clock in the West, 2 a.m. in the East. But right now we have mail to get to. Danny, are you prepared? Do you have the proper protective gear on for the mailbag?
Same headgear I had as a kid, Ben.
You're prepared. You are ready to go. All right. Well, this is very exciting. Now, we have Ohio Al sent us the mail song. Now, we were unable to play it last week, but we worked out the technical difficulties. So now this is going to be an authentic, official mailbag because we have music.
Ben's mailbag.
So excited. Now we can get started with the festivities. So the first email, Danny, comes from Helen and Stu of Palmetto Bay, Florida. They're a very controversial couple on the show, Helen and Stu. They are either loved or hated. They were at war with the previous co-host, sidekick of the Fifth Hour. And here's the email. It says, Ben, happy Hanukkah. As you know, and practice on Fox Sports Radio 8 days a week. Hanukkah is based upon the Hebrew word for dedication. Ironically, Helen and Stu write, our festival spans 8 days too. Coincidence? We think not. That's right, Helen and Stu. I'm eating a nice, delicious meal of latkes and jelly donuts right now. And she says, let's go to the man of the hour, Danny G. Helen and Stu say, welcome home to Mallertown, a radio pros pro. The email writes, a great voice with a raw but honest street edge to him. Well, this sounds like a movie, like a review of a movie, doesn't it, Danny?
Dang.
Man, I like that. That's a good line. You should put that on your resume there. A great voice with a raw but honest street edge to him. I like that.
Sounds like a really bad movie summary.
Mad skills, and as Stu and his golf pals refer to him as the Titan of Tinderonis. Look at that. You get a nickname there with Stu out on the golf course in Florida. The email continues, Ben, by the sound of your voice, we know you are overjoyed to get rid of that piece of rotted out beach driftwood west of the 405. Well, that is shots fired, and replace him with Danny G. Well, I'm very happy to have Danny on the show, and I had no problem with the other show. The show was good, but scheduling wise, it did not work out. Anyway, Helen says, Stu and I, the entire Maller militia, except for apparently, she says, Stu and I, the entire Maller militia, except for the moose in Montana, Tammy, wow, are equally excited with the news, as is management and Fifth Hour advertisers. Moving forward, sell the Soap Boys. That is a reference, Danny. We had John Sterling, the voice of the Yankees, on, and he told the story about how the most important thing in broadcasting is sell the soap. You got to sell the soap. And
we touched on that a little bit last week.
Yeah.
Ben, I want to say to the power couple there, not in Bradenton, but the other power couple,
Palmetto Bay, which is in the Miami area, but people in Miami they don't like Palmetto Bay. There's rivals of Palmetto Bay.
Thank you for the nice welcome. And on Twitter, there were a few shots fired at Gascon. What I replied to those shots fired, hey, you got to give Gags a lot of credit for getting the show started. Salute.
There you go. And Helen and Stu, by the way, they did have some questions. They said, housekeeping question for Danny G. Congratulations on your engagement. Once you're married, will you finally reveal your last name?
Well, yeah, as you know, Ben, the last name was really never a secret. It was just kind of a radio bit we did to have some fun. Yeah, I don't mind letting everybody know that I'm actually part of the Ghirardelli chocolate empire. That's why I have time to play around with kids after school on the football field and sit around in the middle of the night and do podcasts with you. I mean, look, Ghirardelli, you know the name, you trust it.
That's right.
It's some wonderful chocolate, and so I have to thank my great grandfather.
Yeah, he comes from a long line of chocolatiers, the Ghirardelli chocolate family. And my favorite dessert, Danny, and one of the reasons I'm friends with you, is the Ghirardelli ice cream cookie sundae, which is an amazing thing. And there's been many, many years of civil war between Ghirardelli's chocolate in Northern California and See's Candy in Southern California.
And screw those See's people. They tried to steal that idea from my aunt years and years ago. So I'm glad you're a fan, Ben.
Yeah, no, I've always been pro Ghirardelli, which upset my mom. My mom was a See's Candy woman, and I loved Ghirardelli. And in fact, I've been to San Francisco in downtown there in the financial district. There's a Ghirardelli's, as you know, because you run the company or you're related through blood, the Ghirardelli's chocolate right there, Danny. Amazing.
I grew up in that shop.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. You were a little boy and you were making ice cream sundaes as a child. Pierre from Springfield writes in and says, Ben, now that you've successfully had the elitist boil removed from your tuchus, is there any truth to the rumor that he's moving to Vermont to form a super group with Arnie for those that have been permanently emotionally scarred by the Mallor militia? Yeah, there's probably like they meet every Thursday at 2 o'clock and they trash Justin in Cincinnati, Just Josh, who else? Phylexis in Buffalo and the whole group.
Poor Arnie. Did you see how his Twitter got hacked?
I wondered what happened because Arnie started following me again randomly. And I thought, well, why did you stop following me? I didn't realize he had gotten hacked, huh?
You got followed. I got blocked. And it's some company trying to sell PS5s. It's like, it's weird. It's like some video game company hacked him.
Banyer?
Yeah. And Arnie sent me a text. Call me, buddy, call me. I got locked out of my Twitter. I got hacked. I need help. Poor Arnie.
Oh, that's great. I thought he had followed me, but maybe it was the other people that followed me. Maybe he didn't actually follow me. I don't know. Anyway, Pierre in Springfield, also a friend of Alf, the Alien Opiner, says, has Danny G been permanently excommunicated by the suits at FSR, or is there hope that he can fill in for Roberto and resurrect some classic genie drops? Now you're a producer now. You're not an engineer anymore. You've moved on to producing, but people do miss Danny, the genie in Medford drops, the old fans of the show.
Yeah.
Roberto was not around for genie, and you were there in the glory days of genie in Medford, an amazingly gifted caller at sports radio. And one of my favorites, the greatest caller in the history of the show. And we had so many drops. She was a drop machine. She really was.
She was. I miss Jeannie a lot. Always would call with a story about her neighbor.
Yes, yes. And she'd tell stories about like random dating people that
played in the NFL. Being at the liquor store and a Raiders fan and a Chargers fan. And she would tell me, I love you because you're a Raiders fan. And you're right, though, about the drops. I would be cutting up at least 5 Jeannie drops a week.
I'm a doctor. I got it all over me. God bless, really, the paper boys, security guards, and truck drivers. I got turned on and it scared me.
When I write my book someday, Danny, I'm going to have a chapter on Jeannie in Medford, at least part of a chapter on Jeannie in Medford, because this woman... I thought I was getting punked when she started calling the show. I thought, this is not a real, this is a fake.
Yeah.
I'm getting catfished or something. This is not a real woman. And it turned out she was real. And the story is she was a little down on her luck, I think it's fair to say. And she was self-medicating herself. And she was a lonely woman. And she started, just wanted somebody to talk to. And she called 911. To talk to 911, and then it became problematic because you're not supposed to do that unless you have an actual emergency. So they arrested Jeannie in Medford, and then they told one of the police officers told her, hey, you're lonely, listen to the radio, call the radio show. And for some reason, all the radio shows on the dial in Medford, Oregon, she found our show and started calling the show, and a legend was born. And when she passed away, Danny, the fans of the show raised so much money because she was by herself. She was a lonely old woman and paid for her funeral expenses, and they had enough money left over. There's a plaque at that Swan Boat Park near Dodger Stadium with Jeannie's name on it. Unless the people that live there have ripped that sign down, but I assume it's still there. It's not the greatest part of LA, but it's a beautiful park.
Oh, it's there. Somebody's camping permanently on the bench, but it's there.
Someone's home right now.
Yes.
But
somebody's floorboard, but it's there.
Yeah. Were you on the show when we had Jeannie versus Pete in Pittsburgh?
Yes, I was.
Oh my God. That was unreal. Jeannie starts talking like a gangster, and it was the most.
Yeah, she channeled Goodfellas.
Oh, it was insane.
And then there was Jeannie versus Tammy, remember?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Jeannie threw in the towel.
That was a stunner. Yeah. That we all anticipated that Jeannie would just destroy Tammy and Montana. Who knew that Tammy had the kind of verbal boxing skills to bob and weave verbally in that kind of theater?
And yeah, it was like Tammy took out Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, it was unimaginable upset on the show. And that was great. And I remember we were all stunned. And Tammy's got some bulldog in her.
Yeah, Jeannie ended that verbal octagon by basically saying, whatever, I'm out of here. You're a poo-poo head.
Yeah, like no moss, essentially. All right. Matt from Mansfield, Texas writes and says, Ben, I recall when I first started listening to the show that Danny G was still on then, but I don't recall much about it. Can you give us some of the history and notable moments? Well, Jeannie and Medford was a big part of it.
Yeah.
We had some great times. We had a lot of listeners stop by, met a lot of listeners back before the whole COVID thing shut that down at the building. And we got to throw out the first pitch at a game in Bakersfield, which was a lot of fun. And
we had Coop eat Vaseline live off the air.
Yes, yes. Vaseline was great.
We had him eat a 72-hour-old sitting out in the break room hot dog from Burger King.
Yes, from the Jay Moore show that Moore had a Burger King partnership, and they left food, and it was
half rotted with a relish.
Yes.
And the relish is what almost made Coop puke up the bet. But we pooled money and Coop would eat random things. We would Periscope on the show often, which was a lot of fun because the listeners loved to see behind the scenes. Cause at that time, pre-COVID, we were all in the studios together.
Yeah, it was fun. We had a good time. And
remember, I'd bring in the DJ lights.
Yeah.
Mallor doing the robot.
Oh, it was wonderful. Let me tell you, it was a discotheque. It was not just a radio station. So yeah, there were a lot of great moments in that time. And now you're back on the podcast, so we'll have even more. And once we can actually go out and meet people, we're gonna have a podcast get together only for the fifth hour. Quinn in Colorado Springs writes in. He's a big P1 in the Mallor militia. He says, yes, Ben, we are around the same age. He says, my favorite comedian of all time is George Carlin. Says his ability to put the crowd in the palm of his hand was impeccable. His delivery, timing, setups, philosophy, and wit are timeless. For Christmas this past year, my wife bought me the DVD career collection of every one of his live specials. One could correlate the art of stand-up comedy into hosting radio with the parallels. And then he was very kind here, says, as you do, blah, 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 blah. He says, do you have a favorite comedian growing up or now? Well, I was a huge George Carlin fan, and I've told the story before, Quinn. I don't know if you heard it, but George Carlin was a sports talk radio fan in Los Angeles and occasionally called in the greatest comedian of all time, which I believe is George Carlin, called in. He's on the top, whatever, I don't know, Mount Rushmore, but whatever, anybody's list of top comedians. If you don't have George Carlin, something's wrong. But yeah. Carlin was a fan. He was a huge sports fan, and he was an old radio guy from Dallas. He worked in the radio in Dallas. And he always appreciated radio and sports radio. And he called in and he actually became friends. He was George from Venice. That was his name, George from Venice. Venice Beach is where George Carlin lived, or at least that's where he said he was from. And he would call up, and he became friends with one of my friends, Lee Klein, who you've had a back and forth with over the years, Danny. But Lee became friends with Carlin, and I was a huge Carlin fan, and I was like, I want to meet George Carlin. And Lee, like, would not, he kept saying, I'm going to introduce you to Carlin and all that. And Lee and Carlin, like, went out to lunch, and they became buddies, and Carlin invited him to his comedy shows. It was insane. I was so jealous. And Lee would not, he kept saying, I'm going to set you up. I got to do it the right way. And then it never actually happened. And unfortunately, Carlin passed away suddenly. It was a big surprise, but.
Yeah. Back in 2008, I think it was.
Has it been that long?
Yeah. Carlin, man, one of the greats, and also grew up with Cosby before he was evil.
Before he was enemy number one, public enemy number one. Yeah.
Yeah. Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, Dave Chappelle, yeah, yeah. Chris Rock. Bernie Mac was one of my favorites, Ben.
Bernie was good.
Bernie Mac. And then, you know, we also grew up with guys like Rodney Dangerfield and Sam Kinison.
Yep.
There have just been some great comedians over the years. It's almost becoming a lost art because these guys are scared to say anything now, or they don't want to be, but because of the temperature in the room. We can't do comedy the way we used to.
Underrated comic. He died also. Richard Jenny. May we see Richard?
Oh,
Jenny?
Yes. Yeah. He was
very good.
Stephen Wright. Another one that. Yes. Yeah, my favorite because of his deadpan.
I don't know who the top comedians are now. I have not been to a comedy club in a while. And you're right. With everything, the wokesters and all that, I don't know if you can really. To me, comedy is supposed to be stereotypes and goofing. And then everyone, it's like a roast. And then at the end, you all hug it out. You're like, that's good. It's all for the joke. And then we move on. But nowadays, it's obviously not like that. People are very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Touchy.
Yeah, touchy. There you go. Touchy is the word. Sheila writes in. She says, formerly from Orange County, relocated to the free state of Arizona. Well, good for you, Sheila.
Easy, baby.
Yeah, Arizona, man. Enjoy yourself there. She says she had some random thoughts. I don't know if she wants me to read this on the air. She says the non-Maller militia. She says she's not part of the militia, Danny, but she is a loyal listener over the years. She said she randomly found the show about 10 years ago. She was picking up her daughter from work at like 11 p.m., her teenage daughter, and heard the Maller monologue, and she became a fan. And so thank you. She says she's glad that Danny G is on the fifth hour. She says she loved you, Danny, on the show back in the day with the tenderonis and all that. And she sucked up to me by ripping Kyler Murray. Thank you for that. Taking a shot at LeBron James. I appreciate that as well. How about Sheila lives in Arizona, taking a cheap shot at Kyler Murray. Good for you.
Wow.
She says, if you are inclined for the mailbag, how did you and the missus meet? Because I am a girl, she says, and I like that stuff. Thanks for the shows. There you go. Makes me laugh in some dark times in the world. Well, thank you, Sheila, for listening. So, yeah, I met my wife online. I had been doing a lot of online dating, and I met her. God, when has it been? About 10 years, 11 years, something like that. It's been a long time. I had gone on a lot of dates, and they were all failures. It was a disaster. So I went into every date not expecting any of them to work out. And I was just convinced it was going to be a waste of my time, and they were going to hate me. And, you know, they're going to look at me and say, this man's disgusting. I want nothing to do with this man. And so that was always my mindset going into dates. But this one, my wife is way out of my league. As Clay would say, outkick coverage on that one. But so anyway, I met her or whatever. I was like, fine. We hit it off. You meet online, you talk, you text, whatever. Talk on the phone, you hit things off, and then you got to meet in person. It's always different when you meet in person. It's always awkward at first because you don't really know the person. And this one was bad because I was living in Lincoln Heights, and I took the Gold Line up to Pasadena, if you're familiar with L.A. And I took the Gold Line up to Pasadena. The Gold Line was late. I was late for the date. I was freaking out, so I start running. Problem is, by the time I get to the place I met my wife, I was covered in sweat. So what a great first impression. Show up covered in sweat. We were supposed to see a movie.
You were the white Patrick Ewing.
Oh, it was yeah, exactly. I'm like a big pig. I'm a hog. You know, I'm just sweat. And we were supposed to see a movie. We couldn't agree on the movie, so we just went and hung out at a bar and talked. And so
It worked out.
And then you took her window shopping, right, at the Dollar Tree?
Yes, yes, I took her. I'll say anything you want at the Dollar Tree. Did we talk about this? I don't know. I talk so much. I don't even know.
We didn't talk about it on the podcast last week, but
okay. It
is a news story that I read, and it caught my eye because it's $1.25 and up now.
That's the great thing about once your name is known, you don't ever have to change your name.
So they're going to still be called Dollar Tree or Dollar Store or whatever it is?
Well, it's like America Online, but it was people in other countries were on America Online, but it's America Online.
They're living a lie, Ben.
Yeah, they're living a false.
And now, parents, we can no longer take our kids in there and say, you can have five things. It's like five, really? Five things? Yeah, five things. Now we're going to have to say
four
items.
Yeah. I love the Dollar Tree, Dollar General, all those stores. Barry in Music City says, yo, yo, Ma Benny. He says, I enjoy hearing the origin of the word hello, but I think you missed the few years when yo, yo, Ma was the primary method of hello. He says, when you make your world famous Maller pizza, do you make your own pizza crust or do you buy an off the shelf crust? That's a great question, Barry. It really depends. If I have planned out the pizza, I will make the dough. I have my mom, may she rest in peace, bought me a nice mixer. So I'm able to mix the flour and all it doesn't take that long to make dough. The problem is you have to let it sit for a while so it tastes good. And that's the only issue, but usually I'll do it on the weekends if I make pizza, but during the week, sometimes I'll go to like Trader Joe's. You can buy the dough at Trader Joe's and I'll do that. If I'm saving time, Derek in Parts Unknown says, why is it that Fox is playing some FIFA tournament on the Sirius feed instead of your show? He says, I transitioned from listening to your show in the house to the car at the start of the last hour. The past few days, Sirius has the damn football on. This is insanity. Must be stopped. Well, Derek, the problem is, and you know this, Danny, we share that Fox Sports Radio channel is a joint venture between Fox Sports Radio and they carry Fox Sports television programming.
Yeah.
Like Skip Bayless's show and some other of those debate shows are on there. So we're pretty much, you know, if it's between radio and television, what television wants and what radio wants at Fox, I think we know who's going to win that battle. I think we know who's going to, and rightfully so. I'm not saying that shouldn't be the way it is. So occasionally we get covered up. The good news is on iHeart, there's a 24-hour stream. You can hook your phone up to your car. I know it's a bit of an inconvenience, but you can listen that way. And there's also terrestrial radio. We're on most cities, so you can hear the show that way. On the old-fashioned way, with the static in the background, crackling. So,
yeah, I use Apple. I use the iTunes for your podcast, and then I use the iHeart Radio app for whenever I stream FSR live.
Yeah, I listen to the iHeart app. It's really good. I remember when you booked Trump on Clay's show. I listened to that interview. Somebody tipped me off. I guess Trump's going to be on today, and so I ended up listening on the iHeart app to that.
Clay, it's an honor. You have a great show.
Did you tell my producer, Danny G, that he deserved a raise when you called last time?
Absolutely. I said, you got the president. But you really do. You have a great show, and he's a nice guy. I said, you got the president on the phone. You deserve a raise. I haven't done too many of these calls.
That was great. Kevin from Rockford writes and says, next week I will be making my way back to Colorado for the sixth time this year. How about that? The reason I'm going is to hike a mountain. My goal is to hike all 58 of Colorado's 14,000 foot mountains. How about this guy?
Dang.
Kevin says, I've done quite a few so far, but this next one will be my first winter hike. I plan on planting a flag on top of the next mountain that says Mount Maller. Where would I post the pictures so you and the crew can see it? Also, I wrote a Christmas song. He says, you better watch out. I think he's a lady. I ain't quite sure, but something seems shady. Brian Finley's coming to town. That's pretty funny.
I'm loving the Christmas songs, by the way. I heard those on your overnight show.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah, well, that was, good work.
Doing the show Thanksgiving, and I one of the engineers, Chris, was like, hey, starting at midnight, we got to play the the Christmas songs. I was, oh, no, because we have all these great Mather themed songs that we weren't going to be able to play them because they're not holiday songs. And so I was like, wait a minute. We got a lot of talented people that listen to the show. You know, why don't I get some free content? And so I asked, and people were very kind. And we've got a number of songs. Mr. PC in Michigan, Harry in Maine, our buddy in Richmond, Ohio Al. So many talented people sending in songs. And they're pretty funny.
Yeah, those mixed in with the classic comedy Christmas songs that I taught Roberto how to play years ago.
Yes, that was your workaround.
It really was, because I didn't like, you probably remember, if you're a longtime Mallor follower, the restrictions that were put on us with it can only be Christmas music. So I said, all right, if that's the case, then I'm gonna bust out funniest Christmas songs I could find. Police stopped my car.
Yes.
Chipmunks roasting over an open fire. And all the greats, all the funny stuff, instead of all the old Christmas songs you hear everywhere during the holiday.
Yeah, that was a great addition. And so this is another layer to that. So I think we've got enough songs. I can always submit more because we have a month of programming. If we can play goofy songs and then original tunes written by fans of the show. So Kevin, as far as the flag, that is awesome. That you're going to plant a Mount Mallor flag, and I can't wait to see the photo. I imagine like snow in the background, high in the beautiful peak in Colorado, looking out at the great wilderness in the west. And I can't wait for that photo. Send me an email and contact me, or send it on Twitter if you want, and I'll make sure to post that. If you want to email it to me, I can post it on the social media pages for the show. And
I wonder his age, Ben, because 10, 11, 12 years ago, I would go on some really nice hikes with my cousin. He would take me through Vegas to Zion and to all these different national parks. He would say, okay, I mapped it out. I planned it out. This is a beginning hike, so don't worry. So we'd get on this trail. Turned out it was 9 miles.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I'm like, this guy is crazy, man. This is not for beginners. And he would go off the trail. He would follow like dried up creeks. Yeah. My cousin was crazy with the hiking. So I would just have to keep up with him. Right. So I got into really good shape just following him on these trails. But now, fast forward 10 years, I swear to God, walking up two flights of stairs, my legs are like, dude, can you sit down for a minute? at what point and maybe, you know, I'm just starting to get out of the studio, because what I was in a 6-7 year pattern there where my job was to just sit or stand in a radio studio. Now that I have another job where I have to move around a lot and hustle and walk and run, I'm just getting my legs warmed up again. At what point, Ben, do you have to sit down and retire from hiking?
Yeah, I loved hiking around L.A. I used to hike all the time, but this has been a tough year because I moved and I had the gym shut down in 2020. And so then I got a treadmill. I bought a treadmill and I actually used the treadmill. And then we had to move and we had to put it in storage, and it's still in storage. And I have not been able, I go on walks occasionally and things like that around here, suburban hiking, but
used to walk around the studios during.
I did. I used to time out the breaks and walk around because I was obsessed with getting 10,000 steps.
Yeah.
And so I love the fact that starting after midnight, it's a new day. So I would have like an advantage. I'd get some steps in during the show and get my exercise.
You actually patrolled the building better than the comic book loving security guard.
That's right. Yes. And I became friends with all the crack addicts around the studios there that live in that neighborhood. But anyway, send me an email, Kevin, benmallorshow@gmail.com. Make sure you put in the headline there, Mount Mallor or something like that, so it gets my attention. Carlos in Houston, and good luck, Kevin. Be safe out there. Carlos in Houston says, Ben, I want to hear your take on all the noise that Enes Kanter Freedom is making with his shoes. I haven't seen the story. I haven't done a monologue on it, I obviously am more in line with Enes Kanter's politics than I am LeBron James, but I'm a little over the whole politics and sports thing. And I just kind of, I'm a little tired of the whole thing on either side, right? I know the argument's always you love politics and sports if you agree with it. But I'm like, you know, I'm in it for the games and all that stuff. But I wish Enes Kanter Freedom well. I think it's cool that he changed his name to Freedom. But aside from that, I'm on his side, but I don't really have any strong opinions on that whole deal. But he is set up now. Kanter, his career with the Celtics isn't going that well, so he's not playing particularly well this year. He's got a future in politics if he wants, right? He can be run for political office. But anyway, Vols fan Jimmy from Fayetteville, Tennessee writes in, for both of you, when y'all were little, did y'all, because he's from Fayetteville, Tennessee, did y'all ever go skinny dipping with some hot chicks?
Well, let's clear something up. We were never little.
No, that's true. We were never little. Two things on this. A, no hot chicks would get near me. So that's number one. Number two, even as an adult, I don't like to get naked. So I can't imagine as a child skinny dipping, thinking that would be a good idea. I wanted to wear as many clothes as I could. And then he also says, you and Arnie in the hot tub does not count. Yeah, we had the great hot tub escapades in Indianapolis back in the day, but no, Danny, growing up, you know, the Bay Area there, shenanigans with the skinny dipping.
In my early 20s, there was a gal who brought me to the Sycamore Mineral Springs. That is a spot to check out, Ben, because I had never been in one of those big wooden tubs before.
Uh-huh.
And that was, just use your imagination, but that was a very memorable night.
You grew some hair on your chest that night, Danny. Became a man. Oh, but I hear you.
Yeah, that was a date planned by her, and
all these years later, that is one that stuck. That's you've been on a lot of dates, but that's one that you remember. Cliff from Nashville writes in on the mailbag. He says, Ben, since Danny G announced his engagement, have you explained the facts of life of marriage, that she controls half the money and 100% of the fun box? That is from Cliff. Well, no, Danny, you know, you understand how this works, and you're engaged. You're still, everything's great, right? Things are going well. Everything's good.
Yeah. Everything is amazing because my Tinderoni, my queen Tinderoni, is pretty amazing. The thing with her, Ben, the only way I was going to stay committed with somebody, if it was better than being single. And I finally found a woman where everything is better than it even was when I was single.
Good. That's awesome. Now, does she, big question, does she listen to this podcast?
She is a fan of Ben.
Oh, she is? Okay.
Yeah.
So now, you know, she's twisted. Now, will the Tinderoni, the queen Tinderoni, as you call her, is she going to continue? Because I think you've been in the business a long time, and you know what usually happens. Is there's the Goldilocks zone when you first you're with a woman and she finds out you're in broadcasting and you've got a big podcast or radio show and they want to listen to everything, but then after a while it kind of weans a little bit. Like my wife would listen to every single show, she wanted to hear everything, and now she listens maybe once a month if I'm lucky. If I'm lucky, she'll listen once a month. But that's like the natural circle of life, I think, right?
Yeah, you know, my girl has a long drive, a big commute during the week. So she does listen to podcasts, and this is one of the ones that she has in her phone that automatically downloads, is what she told me. So when I was just a guest on this podcast, she listened to it. I think she'll probably continue to listen until I say something that turns her off. And she says, you dirty, rotten scoundrel. How could you talk about that? You suck. For at least one day, you'll be in the doghouse, and I'm not ever listening to you on that show again.
Yeah. Well, and you have a lifetime of that to look forward to. It happens. You live with somebody. You're going to be at each other's necks from time to time. So
she is a good sport. She understands at least a little bit about radio as far as us needing to share a lot of personal things that usually people would not share.
Yes, exactly. And we both like to think no one's listening, and we can share these things because no one's actually paying attention.
Sometimes I forget. And then, like I said something last week and she made a comment and I was like, oh crap. But this is the best way to go about doing podcasts, Ben, is you're right. Just forget that the masses are listening and it's just you and me having a conversation, and whatever goes, goes.
Just let her rip. Let her rip. That's the way to do it.
Fire in the hole.
Exactly, exactly. Brandon from Howell writes in. He says, guarantee this has been asked, but you talk about stocks a lot. Do you do any day trading or swing trading, or are you a buy it and leave it type of guy? All right, Brandon, so we do not give stock advice. You should never take stock advice, financial advice from someone who does a podcast or a radio show, because if we had a lot of money, we would be doing that full time and not doing this. But I do have one of the apps that you can trade daily, but I am really bad at the day trading thing, because what I do is when I buy a stock, I like to hold on to it. I'm not a buy and sell guy. And I wish I was, because I got in on that Dogecoin thing. And if I had sold, I would have made a decent amount of money. I held on to it. It's worth nothing. It's horrible. But my new Michigas brand is, I've talked about this in the past on the podcast. I love buying stocks that are cheap, that pay a dividend. That those are the two things I look for. I was all into gambling and weed stocks, and then Blind Scott gave me the one weed stock that failed. Every weed stock's gone up except the one that Blind Scott recommended, and that's gone to the toilet. But so I moved over to these, a lot of like real estate companies and stuff, and they pay dividends every quarter. So I like that. I feel like I'm make money making money.
When you go to Vegas, you play quarter slots.
No, I bet on red or black on roulette. What I do, or odd or even, is in fantasy, I'm no fun. I used to be in fantasy leagues, and I draft what I thought was the perfect team. So I wouldn't trade anyone because I loved my team. And that would annoy the people in the league, because what's the point of playing fantasy baseball if you're not going to trade anybody? But I'm like, no, I did a great draft. My team's perfect. I don't need another pitcher. I was like,
now what about the SafeMoon? Because my older brother is huge into SafeMoon, and he's been trying to enlist me. Is this something that I should dabble in?
I don't know. What is it? It's called SafeMoon.
SafeMoon, yeah.
Let me look it up here.
Hit us up on Twitter if you're a SafeMoon fan. But it's something, I guess they've just created a wallet, and he's trying to explain to me how to
like crypto
it up.
Or something? Is that like a crypto thing?
It is.
Okay.
So if you're a fellow crypt keeper, let me know. I'm intrigued. I'm interested. I just don't understand all of it yet.
I have Dogecoin. That was a disaster. So I'm a little skeptical, and I got burned. As you know, I had a chance to buy Bitcoin at $100 a Bitcoin when it was early on. I said it was a scam. I turned it down.
What a jerk.
I am the biggest asshole.
Our buddy over at Barstool, I guess, did some videos about it, and it got some backing and some traction. And
it's not showing up here. It's not showing up here, but on my, they don't have everything on the app that I use, so it might be elsewhere. All right, Kevin in Kansas writes and says, dear Ben and Danny G, lately I've seen Joe Namath, Jimmy Walker, and Bill Shatner pushing Medicare enrollment. A few decades from now, can you see yourselves hawking products on air? Oh, God, yes, of course. Come on, right? We do that right now. Hey, this is Ben Maller for Medicare. I'd do it right now.
Yeah, as long as you can fit it into 30 seconds of copy.
Oh, my God. I'm still bitter about that. Oh, my God. Oh, that's for the podcast. Do whatever you want. Greg writes in, says, did they say the option would never work in the NFL? Have Lamar Jackson and the Ravens proven them wrong? The Ravens don't run an option offense. That's too sporty a question, Greg, but the Ravens don't run an option office. And when Lamar Jackson won the MVP, he won it because he became a good thrower that year, not his legs. The legs is a bonus. And I saw a stat in the month of November, Lamar Jackson had the second lowest quarterback rating in the NFL behind Tyrod Taylor. So he's not throwing the ball particularly well. That four interception game last week. So he's not exactly lighting the world on fire.
Yeah, he said, I played like a rookie. He can spin the ball pretty good when he's on, but he was off for sure last week.
He still won the game. He threw four interceptions. How often do you lose a game if you're the team that throws the four interceptions? How often do you win a game if the other team throws? It's crazy.
It's a testament to the vomit he was playing against.
Yeah. J-Bone, we got a couple more. J-Bone in Portland. I'll do one more. J-Bone in Portland says, Portland, Maine. Not a question, he says, but Danny G, come on, perfect. Let's go. Danny G is a legend, he says. I'm glad you guys are bumping heads again and making us laugh. So J-Bone is excited, Danny, that you're part
of it. Yeah. Let's go. And I know you also read some nice comments earlier in the hour. And so I just want to thank everybody for the nice welcome. Being up early, early in the morning to do this is a labor of love. But you know what, Ben? You're probably the only host where when I got that call from Fox Sports Radio Management and they were like, are you interested in this? You were the first name that came up. I was like, hell yeah, I'm interested in that. That's Ben Maller you're talking about.
You're very kind. I appreciate that. I'm glad. Listen, it's wonderful. It's been fun. And we got places to go and things to do. I know that. So we're going to get the heck out of here. But have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll have another edition. If you want to send a question in for a future mailbag, you want to ask me a question, Danny G, both of us questions, you can contact the show on Facebook, the show Facebook page, Ben Maller Show on Facebook. I post every Tuesday, usually early in the day, sometimes in the afternoon, a link, and that's up. You can post Tuesday or Wednesday, and you can also email the Real Fifth Hour, realfifthhour@gmail.com, and put your question in there, and we may use it on a future podcast. And you can do that right now. You can do that tonight, tomorrow. Just get it in by the end of the day on Wednesday. Have a great rest of your Sunday. I'll be back on the radio tonight at 11 o'clock. We'll talk to you then.
Later, skater.